Come and sing unto the Lord. He is the greatest of all. Forever the same. Sing it one more time. How great is our God. How great is His name. He's the greatest of all. He's the greatest of all. Forever the same. He rolled back the wall. I will leave. Put your trust in. How great is our God. How great is our God. He's the greatest. Forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And He said, I will lead you. Put your trust in me. Great is Jehovah. Great is Jehovah. Great is Jehovah.
Come on, lift up your hands and just worship the Lord in the house. Even the Lord has been good to us. Come on. As we lift up worship unto His name, that great is Jehovah, great is Jehovah. Your name. Come on, lift up your hands right now. Lift up your hand now and just sing. Great is Jehovah one more time. Sing it softly with understanding. Just appreciate the greatness of God. Even as we sing this song one more time. Without the instruments, just only the keyboardist. We just want to just enter right now into His presence. Even as we continue to lift up this song into His holy name. So they're just the keyboardist. Great is Jehovah. Great is Jehovah. I just want to hear you sing right now. The Lord appreciates the worship of the saints this morning.
Great is Jehovah.
Give it glory. I'd like the bass guitar to join us even as we sing one more time. Great is Jehovah.
Great is Jehovah.
Sing unto his name.
Great is Jehovah.
Oh, just lift praise unto his name. With the fruit of your lips, just sing unto him one more time.
Great.
Just worship the name of the Lord right now. I just want to just say something unto the Lord. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he is great. This morning we appreciate, O God, your greatness in our midst. It is you alone, O God, that we come to worship. Our worship is unto you, Jesus. We give you glory, we give you honor and praise. Sakaburiyana Mama. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you,
our Lord.
Lift up your hands and sing unto the
you
Lord.
You are worthy to be praised.
You are Alpha
and Omega.
We worship. You can receive your seats right now. You can receive them. Even as we continue in a time of worship. Unto thee, O God, among the gods, who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness and fearful in praises, maker of the universe, the creator of man. We worship you in the beauty of holiness. Accept these fruits of our lips this morning. take absolute control. King of Kings, take your seat in our midst. Blessed be your name. The church say amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Oh, I said clap for the, this was for the instrumentalist. I said clap for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I know that you sang real great and that clapping was for you, but I said put your hands together for Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe. Give a shout offering to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name. Give you glory, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Your best is hallelujah. Oh, I said amen. Is everybody okay? So we want to look at scripture this morning, Psalm 100. I know that you have been working on this scripture for the whole week. I listened to some podcasts. There are wonderful messages that have been delivered. The teachings have been great so far. I enjoyed listening to all of them. I just want to take this opportunity to complete where you started this week. I know that is a week that you've dedicated in offering or teaching thanksgiving and focusing the hearts of the people when it comes to thanking God for his greatness. And I think that is a very good thing. You know, I want to this little time to appreciate our instrumentalist. Clap for Jesus for their lives. You know, these talented young men and women, there are no women here, but you know, I'm sure they will come. When you lose them, that is when you appreciate the value they have or they bring to the table. So church, we appreciate their presence with us. We appreciate the gift of God in them, and we know that we're going to do great ministry together in the next coming months. Amen. Amen. Clap for Jesus for their lives. Hallelujah. God bless you so much. I read Psalm 100. Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Amen. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Hallelujah. The verse 3 tickles me. Know ye that he is. Knowing he that the Lord is God. So the psalmist is recognizing God's lordship. Hallelujah. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. The psalmist is recognizing God's craftsmanship. He is Lord, his lordship. He has made us his craftsmanship. Hallelujah. Oh, I said, and not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, his ownership. Hallelujah. He is Lord, his lordship. Praise God. He has made us his craftsmanship. We are his and the sheep of his pasture. Praise the Lord. That is his ownership. When I read that verse, it just brings everything into light and brings me deep understanding as to why we exist. Praise God. And I believe that that is why that psalm, that verse is smack in the middle. Then after that, he pivots, says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. The psalmist
is just broken and appreciates that verse so much, knowing the lordship of God, knowing the fact that he's able to make things from nothing, his craftsmanship, and in the fact that this God, he owns us, his ownership. So this morning, I just want to speak on the title, The Deep Things That Are Necessary. The things that are necessary in life. Let me just rephrase it. The needful things necessary in life. Hallelujah. Oh, I said, hallelujah. You know, there are certain things in life that are so important that God has made it that you and I focus on those things whilst we are alive. I haven't had, I don't want to say opportunity, but I have seen people who have come to the end of their lives. And I've had the opportunity to minister to them just before they pass into glory. I've had a time or the opportunity, my wife and I have had the opportunity to see some of these incidents or situations where people are nearing the end of life, and none of them has ever said that, Pastor, I regret doing these things that we're going to talk about this morning. In fact, almost all of them come to the point of even saying that we wish that for these particular things, we wish we could have done more whilst we're alive. If you haven't heard any message in this world, I want you to focus downright on this message and see what Psalm 100 opens up. It gives an opening, a gateway into the things that are extremely important in life. And there are four things. Number one, worshiping God in a joyful manner. Number two, serving God in whatever situation, joyfully. Praise the Lord. Number three, the burning quest, the desire, the ability, the hunger to know God better. Hallelujah. And then number four, offering thanksgiving to him. These four things, I don't care whether you're married, you are, I don't care what stage in life you are in. When you attend to these four things, you will receive joy on this earth, no matter what circumstance you find yourself in. Worshiping God gladfully, serving God without complaining, without moaning. The quest for knowledge concerning the things of God. As a matter of fact, knowledge in any facet of your life, but particularly concerning the things of God. Using this mind that the Lord has given you and I. And then finally, offering thanks to his holy name. The psalmist begins by saying, in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And then serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Hallelujah. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful sound unto the Lord. Worship the Lord joyfully. It is believed, beloved of God, that this psalm was used in the temple as a formal call to worship for the pilgrims who were approaching the temple.
Come into the house of the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Shout on top of your voices, because God is king, because the Lord is in the midst of his people. You see, in ancient times, matter of fact, even in our dispensation, in when you go to, when you visit, like Ghana, when you go to the king's palace, and I believe that when there's a Durbar and the king is approaching, people don't just keep quiet and wait for the king to take his seat or the queen to take his seat. People are joyful. They make noises. They shout on top of their voices. They grant this king's accolades to signify that indeed our king or chief is a powerful entity. In the same way, the psalmist is saying that make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Recognize the greatness of our king. I just took the opportunity to look at some examples in scripture where Bible talks about people making noise and shouting because of the presence of the king. When you read Numbers chapter 21, we remember when Balaam, the false prophet, was hired by Balak to curse the people of Israel. And we know that God wouldn't let that happen. But look at what scripture says. Bible says, Balaam looks and saw the people spread out, and he said, the Lord their God is with them. Get this. The Bible says, and the shout of the king is among them. He believed that by that shout, the presence of God was with the people. Praise the Lord. In Joshua chapter 6, the Bible says that when they surrounded the city of Jericho, the instruction was given by Joshua to his troops, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Joshua understood that the shout of the people also signified the presence of the king in the battle. Praise the Lord. In 1 Samuel, when the Philistines were fighting the Israelites, there was a crucial part of the battle when the Israelites asked that the Ark of the Covenant be brought. And this is what happened. When the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the camp of the Israelites, Bible says they shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Amen. And the Philistines said, what is all this shouting in the Hebrew camp? For those of you who remember the story, Bible says they learned that the Ark of the Lord had come to the camp of Israel. To them, it signified, just by hearing the shouting, it told them or signified to them the presence of the Lord in their midst. Ezra, in chapter number 3, is another example. Bible says the temple had been rebuilt. Gathered. Bible says that they give a great shout of praise to the Lord because they believed that their God was in the midst of the people. Hallelujah. Charles Spurgeon says something. He says that our happy God should be worshipped by a happy people. Hallelujah. There is no doubt in my mind, beloved of God, for those of us who understand what God has done for us, there is no doubt in my mind that anyone who knows who our God is and what he has done for you, you can never suppress the joy when it comes to such people. Those who understand what God has done, all the time, it is impossible for you to suppress their shouts. Bible says, sing to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. No excuses. You see, it is interesting how scripture doesn't give us the formula to sing to the Lord. Bible never said, and thou shalt sing these songs unto me with a 4x4 beat or 4x2 beat, or the song has to be high life, or the harmony has to be spelled out completely and accurately. No. God knows that some of us, if he were to bring those kind of restrictions, some of us will keep quiet for the rest of our lives. So scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. If the Lord gave you a great, sing with that great voice. If the Lord gave you not so much of a great voice, still give it back to him in praises and in worship. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. And you see, there is power in shouting the name of the Lord. Isaiah says in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6, when he God opened his eyes, Bible says that there were shouts of praises, so much so that the pillars in the temple shook. These are inanimate objects that receive the shout and praise of our King. An inanimate object shook because they understood that there is a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords in the house. How about we who can move? Beloved of God, this today, I believe that we will go into another time of praises, and I really want us to demonstrate this and shout unto the Lord, COVID or no COVID. Because the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The psalmist said that the first thing that you need to do in life, cultivate the ability and the attitude of worshiping God and praising him joyfully. Praise God. And then he didn't just stop there. He said, and serve the Lord gladly. Verse number 2. Sandwiched into the two parts of worship. Serve the Lord gladly. Offer service. Not only should you just sing and worship God, but also serve the Lord. I believe that your spiritual, actually what really, one of the things that measures our spiritual maturity is our inability to serve in the house of God without complaining. Hallelujah. Without complaining, without any ulterior motives. The psalmist said, serve the Lord joyfully. Praise the Lord. And also, it's very frustrating to find people who serve the Lord, but whilst they are serving, they are complaining. How about that deaconess? How about that elder? PWC, we don't speak. I almost said. I'm the only person. I'm the only elder who come to all the meetings. How about all the other elders? Just come and do your part. I'm the only deaconess who comes to the house to prepare the way. All right, pastor, presiding elder, it's just only me. How about the other ones? Just come and do it to the Lord. Serve the Lord gladly. Hallelujah. Not only should you just worship, come on Sunday or in your homes and just worship the Lord and shout. We require of you to do, or the Lord requires of you to do, shout and praise his holy name and then only stop there. No. Serve the Lord joyfully. You know, I've been pondering over Luke chapter 10, the story where Martha and Mary host Jesus Christ. And Bible says that Mary is enjoying the time of teaching under the feet of Jesus. And Martha is busying herself in the kitchen and working in. And then she begins to complain. She said, Jesus, say something. Why is it that I'm the only one in the kitchen and doing the work? And look at Mary. I believe that Martha's working, serving, preparing the dishes, I believe that it wasn't a bad thing. But the moment she started to complain, Jesus said, you know what? If you will serve and complain, then just stop serving. Come and sit right here. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us serve the Lord with gladness. One other example in the Old Testament that I can think about is Jonah. When Bible gave him express, God gave him express instruction to send the gospel to Nineveh. In his mind, he said, you know, I will do it. I will serve you, God, but I want to go the opposite direction. The people in Nineveh do not deserve your grace. Bible says he went the opposite direction. I believe that anytime we serve God, whilst doing that moaning and complaining, we are going the opposite direction of what God has purposed for our lives. Beloved of God, we have to serve the Lord with gladness. Whatever is given to you in this life, hear me out, beloved of God. There is going to come a time in your life that you'll be unable to do it. Or better still, you might want to do it, but you notice that the energy is not there to do it the way you would have wanted to do it. Many years ago, I was a very good volleyball player. And then sometime when we came to Chicago, my family were back home in Ghana, getting ready to come. And I decided to join this local gym to play the volleyball with some young men over there. And I was a little bit matured in age. Then when I suited up and went to the court, when the ball, somebody will set the ball, and in my mind, I want to spike. My mind is telling me to jump a certain way. But my legs and my hands are not coordinating the way they used to. You are laughing as if it's only me. Go and try it sometime and see. Elder Ting, as for you, you look young, so I think you can do it. It gets to a point in our lives where we are just unable to do the things we used to do previously. We are unable to serve the Lord the way we want to. I challenge people all the time. However old you are right now, add 30 years to it. And you will quickly notice that 30 years plus your current age puts you in a category that either the Lord has faithfully welcomed you home, or you are not able to do it the way you would. I came to this country only in 1996, and it feels like 2 weeks ago. The years go by very quickly, beloved of God. This is your time to worship the Lord joyfully and serve Him gladly, because a time is coming when you would not have the opportunity to do that anymore. Praise the Lord. Scripture says in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, it with gladness. Whatever you're doing, when you're giving in the house of the Lord, do it gladly. Hallelujah. Without any compulsion, praise the Lord. It is incumbent for us to worship the Lord and then also serve Him. And the psalmist said in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. He is He that made us and not we ourselves. Praise the Lord. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Know ye that the Lord, He is good. Worship Him. Serve Him and make the attempt to know God for yourself. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So the word know means to perceive something with understanding. In relating to God, there are certain things that He wants us to know. See, I believe that God has given us this beautiful, complex mind and brain so that we will acquire knowledge. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Amen. We will know God, but also know His wonderful creation. Understand who He is. We will not be able to completely figure Him out. But let's make the effort to know who this God is. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's make the effort to know who this God is. The psalmist said that know that He is Lord. Know that He is God. It is okay to study and show yourself approved. Amen. It is okay to study to know and understand who our God is. Jeremiah chapter 9 is a very beautiful scripture. It says that boast in his riches, nor the mighty man boast in his might. But let this one boast who knows, praise the Lord. He made us. We have to know. You see, when you know God, you begin to understand how to handle him in your life. You see, when you know this God, who he is, people will be running back and forth, say their hand on them. You know, King of Kings, the one who took us out of the miry clay and established our feet on a rock. When you know him, you begin to understand certain things that happen in this you have in your life. When you know God, you know that because he has created you, loves you, come through for you at the right time. When you know God, nobody will ask you to come to the house of the Lord. You know nobody will enter life as a Christian because it's easier. Know who this God is. Who this God is. And then also know that he made us. Hallelujah. He understand but appreciate his handiworks. Praise the Lord. These things, they help when you go into time of worship. When you appreciate his name, how big and how grand important is, but also to understand that what he did for us, or even mere creating human beings, is masterfully made by him. Praise the Lord. When you know God and you know that he made us, you understand that you are an incident. You are one that God made you. He put you together for a reason. I was reading around, and brains have over 10 all the time. They said that the skin has about 2 million sweat glands to help regulate the air. They said that the heart is blood to every vein in the body. And according to what I read, it pumps blood and in a day travels about 68 million miles. And you know what baffles me? God made this one time and it worked. There was no a different version. God didn't say that, okay, I finished Adam. You know what? There's some mistakes here, so let me do version two. Let me roll out another source, Adam 1, and come out Adam 2. No, he made it one time and was perfect. Know who this God is. Hallelujah. His craftsmanship. He's able to do this with his hands. If he's able to create masterfully, beloved of God, and if we are created in image, we have to believe that he's given us that craftsmanship ability. We have to believe that he's given us that power as well to also help the church, help the people that come in contact with. No, God, let us worship him joyfully. Let us serve him joyfully, but let us know him. Paul said that I'm the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering to his death. Let us know this God. Praise the Lord. Us. He loves us. We know in scripture that Jesus Christ came to die for us. This God wills and wishes that when it's all said and done, we will be with him. That's why he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross. On the way to the cross, he suffered pain. He was flogged. He was beaten. He was chastised. He was tortured. And when they hung him on the cross, he had you and I in mind. He went through that excessive pain. But because he loves us, our knowledge of him is that he succumbed to death, let go of his spirit, so that we will be victorious. Do you know this Christ? If you know him, you will worship him, you will serve him. If you know him, you will give thanks to him at all times. And I know that you've belabored the point of thanksgiving this week. Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. The moment we get ready from home to enter into his presence, our hearts should be filled with thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me another day. Thank you for the opportunity to go in the house of the Lord to worship with the saints. Thank you, Jesus, that even though I had some headaches on Wednesday, thank you for the healing power.
Thank you that because you exist, because you are, because you love me, I will face tomorrow and the subsequent days. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the things that I haven't even seen you do in my life. Thank you because I know you will do it, and you do it more abundantly, more than I can think or even imagine, according to the power that worketh in him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that this professor, even though it looks like he discriminated against me, thank you that I was able to go through the course. I was able to go through the class, and thank you that my parents have supported me till this time. Thank you, Jesus, for the life of my parents, for the life of the friends you've put in my life. They have spurred me on, they have encouraged me. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know this Christ? If you know him, you will worship him in spirit and in truth. If you know him, you would appreciate that it is good to serve him in the house of the Lord. If you know him, you'd appreciate the things that he has done for you. Hallelujah. Thank God consistently. Thank God consistently. Worship God. Serve God. Give generously without complaining. And thank him. This should be our response, all of us, when it comes to the point where he's calling us home. We should look back and say, thank you for the opportunity to worship you. Thank you for serving you, Jehovah. Thank you, Jesus, that I have known you for all these years, and I know that where I'm going to be, you will beckon me and accept me home. Thank you. These are the four things that are necessary in life. These are the four things that give you significance in life. For every Christian, for every man, woman, child, anyone who accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, these are the things that will take you through life comfortably. Even though there might be challenges, but when you put all these things in perspective, those challenges will pale in comparison to your knowledge of him. Do you know this Christ? Do you worship him? When you come to the house of God and there is worship, do you actually understand that you're extolling the name of this great God? Or it is like ice water because you don't understand. When we say, glory be to God, may your name be magnified, you don't get it because you don't know him. Know him. Know who he is. I believe that as you put these four things into your life, in the next years, you will receive the significance that you need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even in times that you feel despondent, put these four things into play. Say, Jehovah, I worship you. I don't feel good. There's something wrong, but I worship you in the beauty of holiness. Jehovah, I know that I feel different today. But you know what? I will serve in the house of the Lord. Even if anyone comes to whisper anything into my spirit, I know that I worship you, I will serve you, I will know you, and I will thank you for the rest of my life. Shall we be on our feet? Follow.